Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. I'm Mia Costello. Welcome Senator Gardner, Senator Meyer, Senator Stevens, and Vice Chair Senator Hughes. Yeah. We got off to a little bit of a late start this morning because the committee is updating our Facebook page. We're the only committee in the legislature with such a page, and so we are updating that page, and we took a photo of the committee, so I appreciate your patience. Today we do have, and the time is 1:37, and I want to thank our recording secretary, Carrie, and our LIO operator, Kyle. Thank you for making the meeting possible. So before we get started today, I did want to say that I have a special guest, Rachel Bedsworth, who's here in the audience, and she is with Facing Foster Care Alaska. She has been coming down to Juneau for 4 years to advocate for foster care issues, and she really is, in my mind, a hero in the true sense. I mean, she has been an advocate for foster youth in Alaska, and last session we passed a bill that put dividends in a trust for people in foster care, and so she worked with my office on that. And she's 20 years old, a student at UAA, and she has told me this afternoon in our visit before we came to the committee that she is going to pursue a degree in social work. So, Rachel, I cannot think of a more talented, committed, intelligent young person to pursue a career in that field, and I want to publicly thank you for your advocacy. And it's really a pleasure to have you shadow me today. I wish you could shadow me for the whole session. And with that, I want to turn it over first to Senator Gardner, then Senator Meyer, then Senator Hughes, because each of us here have someone shadowing us from the Alaska Foster Care.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I start, I just want to say to Rachel, you should look into the UA intern program because many of our offices have interns.
I have a couple friends that are interns.
I get first dibs.
Okay, so Celeste's job shadowing for me this afternoon, and she talked to me a little bit about the bill that is in the other body that she's advocating, particularly the provisions about keeping children together with siblings, and if that fails, to make sure that they have contact visits and phone contact and such with each other. And she told me a little bit about how the state failed her and her siblings in that regard. She's also a student at the University of Alaska in Anchorage, and when she walked into my office, I immediately had her research something for me that I couldn't find. So that worked out nicely. And anyway, I'm glad to have you here. Thank you, Celeste. It's your second time coming down. Yeah.
Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'm privileged today to have Nathan Presley. I think this is your first time here, correct?
Second.
Okay. Second time for
you.
You have tacos at your house? Sorry, I didn't have tacos, Nathan. But yeah, Nathan's also with Facing Foster Care. He's 18 years old. Is that correct? Okay.
19
now. Okay. And wants to join the Army, but until that happens, he taught me a few tricks on how to buy low and sell high, which good advice, especially for this committee, or the Committee on the Economy and of Commerce. So it's been a pleasure meeting you and getting to know you, Nathan. Thank you for joining us today.
Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Alexa, if you want to come forward so folks can see you. This is Alexa Bissa, and she is 23 years old and will be 22, and she is about to graduate with her Associate of Arts degree from Mat-Su College. And that's happening in May, and then she's also getting married in May, and then a week after that, she is going to be coordinating. She's in charge of a major event at the Glenn Massey Theater on the Mat-Su campus, and I need to learn more, but it's centered around something called education entertainment. So she has a lot on her plate coming up, and I really wish her well in that. We were chatting a bit. She has lived on two sides of the valley, and also for a time in North Pole. And she listed all the different schools she's attended, and she has quite a long list. But I'm so pleased. She is so incredibly well-adjusted, despite some of the challenges. And I know she's going to be very successful. And she is an artist, and she actually commissions for her artwork. And so I'm not sure, but she might be sketching us here up at the table. And if she does, I told her we would put it on our Instagram page, and it might actually end up as a cover photo on my Facebook also if that happens. But anyway, she's a delightful young woman, and I wish her well with all the exciting things happening next month. Or not next month. But this is still March. All right. Yeah. 2 months.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Hughes. It is great to have young people, young Alaskans, shadowing us so that at some point in the future you can replace us here, which I know, Rachel, is something that you've mentioned, and I fully support that.
Right there.
So, all right. So with that, today we have quite a bit on our agenda. We are starting off the committee with governor's appointees to state boards and commissions. We have had previous meetings where we've considered individuals who've been appointed by the governor or reappointed. I want to thank the nominees for your time and for serving the state of Alaska. It's really important to have Alaskans involved in state government. I know from working in a previous governor's boards and commissions office that there are more than 200 boards and commissions in Alaska, and it really is where government meets the people, because many of these boards license professional professions, and they do quite a lot of work for the state of Alaska, on behalf of the state of Alaska, uncompensated for the most part. These confirmation hearings are often the only time that the legislature gets to dialogue with the boards to help us understand the issues that the boards are facing, and also the specific interests that the appointees bring and the experience that they bring to the board. And we do have quite a few individuals today. I want to thank everyone who's called in and is waiting online. The process for this is that the appointees will introduce themselves to the committee. Then we'll take the members' questions. We'll take any public testimony if anyone is interested in testifying. And then we will set all the nominations aside for action at a later date. So with that, our first board that we're looking at is the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners. This is a 5-member board, and we have two nominees that we will be hearing from today. The first one is Suzanne Dutson, so I want to welcome Suzanne forward, if Suzanne is here.
I am.
Okay, Suzanne, you're calling in. Thank you. So welcome. Please state your name and affiliation for the record. Tell the members why you're interested in serving on this board. And then the question I usually ask is any challenges that you see the board facing. And then we'll open it up to the remainder of the committee members for questions. So with that, welcome, Suzanne. And please feel free to introduce yourself.
Thank you. My name is Suzanne Dutson, and I am in the public seat, the unlicensed seat for the board. I am working on a doctorate in organizational leadership, have a master's degree in psychology, and I'm about, I think, 20 months away from the doctorate, so I'm pretty excited about that. The reason that I have been interested in the board and did apply and was really grateful that the governor appointed me was that it matches up very well with my goals for serving the state, specific to using my education and experience in social services, behavioral health, and healthcare. I appreciate the opportunity to have an impact on creating and maintaining some regulatory information and law and policy regarding making sure that there's quality in licensure and accountability in licensure for behavioral health professionals. I really appreciate the board members. I have been very impressed at the meeting that I went to. I did miss the second one because I succumbed to the Juno flu, unfortunately. They're an incredibly talented pool of individuals who are remarkably dedicated to the positions, and I hope to be even close to being as valuable to the board as they are. So that is, in short, some of the reason why I want to be there, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you all about that today.
Well, thank you very much, Suzanne. Are there any questions? Senator Stevens?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Suzanne, for being interested in this, and particularly from your background with organizational leadership. Honestly, I have heard some complaints about this board, and the complaint is that people take exams to be advanced as counselors, and that it takes an enormous amount of time for the board, or actually maybe it's the staff, to get that information, that certificate, out to people's employers. Can you comment on that and comment on how you could improve that that time, say up to 6 months?
Sure. Well, having just a limited experience with the board, some of the stuff that I did learn in the meeting in Anchorage in November was that there has been an enormous staff turnover in the state liaison position, and that has caused a lot of delays in many processes, not just the one that you're referring to. But it looks like now that we have a really talented and dedicated staff member who has at least articulated an interest in the long-term position, and she seems to be doing a remarkable job. So I would ask that you would give her an opportunity to kind of get things settled down. She was doing an enormous amount of work at the last meeting in terms of kind of catching up on where the board was, what things were more urgent to be done than others, was creating a triage list of tasks to do, and seems to be really doing a remarkable job in trying to catch up.
Senator Stevens?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Suzanne, and appreciate the fact that you are, you're not a psychologist, but you are a public member, and I think you can bring something to the table that is needed, and I appreciate you looking into that fact, that issue of the timeliness of the actions of the board. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Gardner?
Thank you, and thank you for your willingness to serve, Suzanne. You have a really pretty impressive resume with a variety of sort of community service and direct service provider experience, and including Human Rights Commission, and you have a bachelor's in human services and psychology, and you've done behavioral health. And I guess I know that we often have shortages of clinical workers and counselors and therapists in a variety of fields, and you're getting a doctorate in management, and I'm just sort of curious, what does a doctorate in management give you, and will you still be in human services?
Sure. Well, and thank you for asking. Yes, it will. My master's degree in psychology is a non-clinical degree. I have more of a interest and passion in research and education and the academic perspective, so that I can look at, you know, processes, law and policy, QA sort of things. I'm less interested in sitting in an office and doing the one-on-one. I really my skill level is more geared to policy and procedural matters, and so that's why I pursued the avenue that I have. And the organizational leadership doctorate is just for me an umbrella for the HNSS graduate and undergraduate degrees I have, so that I can be credible and functional and marketable in law and policy development, QA sort of things, regulatory issues at the state or federal level.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Very interesting.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone here in Juneau that would like to provide public testimony on Suzanne Dutson's appointment? Is there anyone online? With that, thank you, Suzanne. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, ma'am.
Next, we have Deborah Gideon, Dr. Deborah Gideon, and this is also a seat to the Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners. This is an appointment. Her appointment is the psychologist appointment. And welcome, Deborah. Are you online?
I am. Thank you.
Thank you. And please feel free to introduce yourself to the committee and mention your interest in serving.
All right. Well, my name is Deborah Gideon. I am a clinical psychologist and neuropsychologist. I've been in the field a while. I first came to Anchorage in 1988. Moved away a couple of times. I was so unhappy to be away from Alaska. I kept coming back. I've been back now for seven, eight years now, and I have had the good fortune of working in a number of different areas of the country, working with different groups of people, different psychological associations, different organizations, and I hope to be able to provide that experience will have some merit in what I can offer to the board. My interest in being on the board, I'd like to give back to the state. I've really appreciated being here and part of the professional and the community, professional community and the community at large. And I am very interested in quality of care and in provision of care to the multiple groups that we have to serve in our state, and have had the opportunity to work with a variety of different kinds of groups, so hopefully that will be of benefit to the board. But so I guess that's all I'll say at this point.
Thank you very much, Dr. Gideon. And looking at your resume, you certainly
I'm
are...
I'm sorry, I can't hear very well right now. Could you say that again, please?
Yes, so I'm looking at... This is Senator Costello. I'm looking at your resume, and one of the things I noticed is that you have...
I'm sorry. Oh, there we go. For some reason, I'm not hearing very well, but let's see. I've got my volume all the way up.
Okay.
Now I can hear you. So, okay.
So my question has to do with the experience that you have in Iowa, South Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. And in relation to your vast experience, are there issues that the board in Alaska is facing that you feel you've seen in other states? And is there something that you can bring to our state in terms of, you know, working on this board and having it work in a manner that... perhaps is more efficient, just sort of dovetailing on Senator Stevens' question from earlier?
Well, in terms of efficiency of the way the board functions, I'm not sure I can address that because I have not been involved yet with this board, and I have not served on a licensure board in the state. I've been active in state psychological associations. But I do have a perspective of licensure, what qualifications are required, how the profession functions overall in terms of service provision and success in providing services, and I think quality of care is my biggest concern. I think we are, as a state, limited in terms of our options. For example, training options are limited. A lot of people talk about the difficulty of going outside to get advanced training, and I would like to put that together and make sense of that in terms of our licensure and how we serve people the best here in our state and provide the most qualified people. So I guess I'm not, if I'm answering your question, I think my experience in the different states has given me a perspective nationally about what the field, what are standards or norms for the field of psychology. And while I fully appreciate our challenges in Alaska and our differences, I also fully appreciate and respect our needs and hope to be able to put together my perspective from my experience in other states in such a way that I can use that to benefit our understanding of what we need here in terms of licensure and qualifications and that sort of thing.
Okay. Senator Stevens?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Dr. Gideon. Maybe you could share with us, since you've received licensure in several locations, how is that compared with achieving licensure here in Alaska? Was it an elongated process? Did it take any time? Was it unnecessarily cumbersome? Maybe reflect, if you could, between the states.
Well, I appreciate your question. I think it is, Alaska, simply put, is more lenient, more tolerant of a variety of different backgrounds than I've seen in other states. And I realize that we are challenged in terms of, like I said a minute ago, of our access to training. And yet I find that the licensure rules are a little bit more lenient than other states, and I wonder what we need to do about that. Taking into consideration what our needs are here and our options are in our state, how can we maximize our criteria or our credentialing process to look a little bit more like some of the other states and yet take into consideration our unique challenges and needs. Yes, it's different in from other states in some respects.
Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not hearing you again. Let me just try this again for some reason. Okay, would you please try again?
Yeah, hi, back
there. No, it's not coming through. I can vaguely hear you. Let's see what we're doing. Let me try again. Can you hear me?
Okay, my question, can you hear me now?
I'm so sorry. I'm not hearing you again. Let's see here. I can vaguely hear you, but would you try again?
My real question was on the process, how the process in Alaska differs from other states. Is it as efficient as other states?
Is our process as efficient?
Yes. The process of receiving the licensure.
You know, I think in terms of just the amount of time it takes to get licensed, yes, I think it is. I've found licensure in different states to be, it is a very tedious, time-consuming process because there's so much information that one must gather. And I think there's probably, in most cases, a good reason for that information. I remember when I first went through this process in another, my first state where I got licensed, I thought, oh my goodness, this is just so tedious and time-consuming. But then over time I've come to realize that, yes, that's what we need to do to be sure that we are thoroughly vetting people and making sure that we meet our responsibility to our to the people that we provide services to. So I don't think it's, from what I know of the process now, you know, I haven't been involved directly in the licensing process here, of course, for some time, and perhaps it has changed over time, but in my recollection of the process and what I know of it at this point, I don't think it's terribly different, but I may not have all the information that we need to, or I would need to make that kind of determination.
Thank you, Dr. Gideon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone here in Juneau that would like to provide public testimony regarding Dr. Gideon? Is there anyone online? Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Gideon, for calling in. I appreciate your willingness to serve.
Oh, I thank the committee, and I thank the governor for considering me. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next, we have the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers, and the first individual that we will be hearing from is a constituent of mine, Jennifer Lombardo. Welcome, Jennifer. Can you hear me?
Thank you.
So, this board, let's see, your seat is, if you could let us know what seat you're being appointed to, and also just introduce yourself to the committee and then explain why you're interested in serving on the board.
Okay, thank you. My name is Jennifer Lombardo, and I am a lifelong Alaskan who has a little over 9 years of experience as a tattoo artist in Anchorage, and I got appointed to the industry chair. I believe it's like a revolving chair for the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers.
Great. And so can you explain your interest in serving on the board? I mean, I know it'll probably take some time away from, you know, your job, and it's not something that everybody does. And I also want to thank you for your interest in serving.
Yeah, you're very welcome, and I appreciate the opportunity. I really look forward to serving the board for the next 4 years. I work at a tattoo shop in Anchorage that has been around for about 42 years now, and of the three co-workers and myself, we have a combined 60 years of experience tattooing, and I am very interested in serving in this position because I would like to represent the voice of tattooers in the state of Alaska. I've noticed over the last several years that the number of tattooers is increasing steadily, and the tattooers getting licensed in Alaska is increasing, and I would like to be somebody who can, you know, convey their concerns or questions to the board. I also have an interest in protecting the community from unlicensed tattoos. They're always out there, unfortunately, but if there could be a way to kind of crack down on that and try to figure out a way to decrease the number of unlicensed tattoos and protect the licensed tattoos in the community a little bit more, I would like to be a part of that. Tattooing is can be a high-risk profession because we are, you know, working with the different layers of skin and damaging them in a way where if it's done improperly can have a high consequence.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Do committee members have any questions for Jennifer? Senator Gardner?
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you for your willingness to serve on the board. We've had a bill before this committee. I guess it's in Rules or maybe Finance now. It was Senate Bill 4, and it was an act relating to the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers. And I was sort of surprised to find out how many hours of sort of training that hairdressers are required to have, according to the board. Is there a number of hours that tattoo artists have to do before they can be licensed? How does the licensing process work?
There is a number, and I'd like to first say that you're welcome, and thank you also for having me and helping to appoint me to this board. I believe the number of hours that a tattooer needs is just shy of 400 hours, which sort of surprises me because I think that is a significantly low number. Several other tattooers in Anchorage and the surrounding area have met up over the past year, and we kind of came to a conclusion that we would like to increase the number of hours required for tattooing because we believe that there is so much more experience that should be gained before a license is given to anyone inquiring about a tattoo license. It would also be nice to modify the tattoo education so that it's a little bit more specifically geared towards tattooing. Now I got my license a little over 9 years ago, so it has been a little while since I've read through the material, but from what I remember, it's very, it comes from an esthetician textbook, and it's kind of geared more towards just learning about the skin in general and skin problems in general, and doesn't necessarily relate it to tattooing. And so something that I would really like to see is, in addition to an increased hour of experience gaining a tattoo license, I would also like to see more tattoo-specific education.
Senator Gardner?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Okay, seeing no other questions from committee members, is there anyone online who wishes to testify on behalf of Jennifer's appointment or anyone here in Juneau? Okay, seeing none, Jennifer, thank you so much for calling in and for your willingness to serve.
You're very welcome, and thank you all so much for this opportunity.
Next, we have Michelle McMullen. She is an appointee to the male technician seat on this board. Michelle, thank you for joining us. Please introduce yourself to the committee and let us know your interest in serving on this board.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Michelle McMullen. I have been a male technician for over 20 years, starting my licensing in Georgia as an apprentice and moving while I was still in high school, receiving my license as a male technician, and moving to Alaska in the mid-90s, continuing my career here. I've traveled out more recently, continuing my education to help develop better techniques and safety techniques for our clients, and hoping to be able to share that and develop a good industry here in Alaska that knows how to take very good care of their clients.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Are there questions for Michelle, Senator Gardner?
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for your willingness to serve. And you talked a little bit about an apprenticeship. What kind of formal training, if any, do licensed nail technicians have?
Now that we're going through the change, it's a 250-hour schooling with multiple hours in different areas. Artificial nails being one of the larger portions of it that needs to be addressed in this state. I see that forthcoming, and hopefully a lot of our nail techs who are now manicurists will be able to transfer over with the testing and continue their education also.
Senator Gardner?
Thank you. Is the curriculum set by the board? Where does it come
from? We do have a curriculum in the board. I don't have it in front of me. And I've seen the 250 hours and how they were split up, and it's very much set on sanitation and then the different application techniques.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Is there anyone here in Juneau who wishes to testify related to Michelle's appointment to this board? Is there anybody online? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Michelle, for making yourself available and being interested in serving.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I look forward to serving with the board.
So, members, there is another appointee to the board, Terri Ann Schell of Big Lake, to the public seat on this board. Terri Ann is traveling and unable to talk with us today, so we will be rescheduling her conversation with us. So next we have the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. This is a five-member board. We have two individuals who are appointees new to the board. The first one is Dr. Larson of Soldotna. He's been appointed to the chiropractor seat. Dr. Larson, I know you're online. Can you hear us?
I am, and yes, I can. Thank you.
Please feel free to introduce yourself to the committee members and let us know why you're interested in serving on the board, and thank you for your interest in serving.
Okay, thank you. I'm Dr. Brian Larson, one of three Dr. Larsons here in Alaska that are chiropractic physicians and specialize in sports injuries. I've been in Alaska for 35 years, so I think I'm probably qualified as an Alaskan. This is actually a third career for me. I've worked in Alaska as a licensed general contractor years ago, and then as I was going to college, pursuing a degree in managerial economics at Brigham Young University back in the 80s, I began working during the summers for the state of Alaska, the Department of Public Safety, Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection, which ultimately led from a seasonal position to as a non-commissioned personnel to a field commission, seasonal field commission, and then to a full-time position as an official wildlife enforcement officer with the state, including 3 years of duty as a member of the director staff, acting as a public liaison and a liaison with other states and nations, in coordinating the activities and efforts of the anti-poaching programs throughout the nation and the world. After 10 years of doing that, of all things, a back injury ended that career, and I left employment with the state to pursue finishing my pre-professional undergraduate program, and then went to chiropractic school. I graduated 2003 from the University of Western States chiropractic program. Graduated magna cum laude, and immediately began to practice with my uncle, Dr. Daniel Larson, in Wasilla. I was there for 6 years, which also included time where I volunteered at Palmer High School as their team physician, which was a wonderful experience, and which is something that when I left Wasilla in 2009 and opened my own practice down here in Soldotna, which is Premier Chiropractic and Sports Injury Center, as I've continued to volunteer significant amounts of time with our local school programs, athletics, as a team physician. It would have been a phenomenal opportunity for me to interact with what I would have to say is absolutely is the greatest assets that we have as a state, which is our young people. They're goal-oriented, they're excited for life, and it's a great opportunity, a great way to help keep me a little bit on the younger side as I get to interact with these students, and not just in Soldotna, but literally from all over the state. Every place I go when I travel with my teams I interact with the coaches and administrators of other schools, and particularly with their athletes, and helping to provide care that is quite frankly isn't available in our schools and generally is not available in our society. I am specialist trained. I'm a diplomate of the American Chiropractic Board of Sports Physicians, which I received that certification, which would be basically as a board certification 3 years ago. Prior to that, in 2004, I completed my certificate as a certified chiropractic sports physician through the same national board. And like I said, that's something that's important to me. It comprises a large part of my practice here in Soldotna. Let's see, other things. Why would I want to serve on the board? You know, I spend a lot of time, like I said, as I've interacted with people all over the state, I spend a tremendous amount of time involved in our school systems, and serving on the board is a good opportunity for me to give something back to both the community and the state that has been a home for me and provided me with many opportunities. So,
well, thank you very much, Dr. Larson. And something you didn't mention but stuck out to me as I read your resume is that you've been a leader of the Boy Scouts since 1985. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Dr. Larson. I want to thank you very much for all the years that you volunteered as a team physician. And I noticed you were at Palmer High for a while, and so I just have to ask.
Ma'am.
I would just have to ask because during the years, one of my children was playing varsity basketball at Colony, and just wondering what sports were you doing all sports at these high schools, or are you focused just on football, or?
Yes, ma'am. As we participate with all sports, so what years was your son? Was that your son or daughter?
It was my daughter. So it was up through 2008.
What years was she playing?
Yeah.
Okay. So she would have known my cousin, Dr. Chris Larson, there probably fairly well. All of the Larson doctors, my cousin, Dr. Chris, is currently running Larson Chiropractic there in Wasilla, and he volunteers. Still considerable amounts of time in all sports there at Colony. My uncle, Dr. Dan Larson, still, even though he's retired, spends a tremendous amount of time with Wasilla's high school basketball and football programs. And one of the things that we made sure that we did as we're the schools is that we get in touch with each of the coaches and make sure the administration knows that when we're there in the schools or out on the field or on the court, is that we are available for any of the athletic teams, whether it's the cheer squads or the dance teams or swim teams, whatever, so we're available to consult and most especially to be able to deal with acute injuries. And one of the things that we always do, we meet with teams and administrators at the beginning of seasons and let them know that you know, as we're there as volunteers, things that we do when we travel with teams, we travel We cover our travel ourselves. We provide all of the materials that we utilize. Comes out of our clinical budget. And the things that we do, the help that we provide, the information that we share when we're in the schools, we do that all pro bono. We make sure that parents know that they're not going to get a bill from us. If a coach brought their kid over and say, hey, you know, has they hurt their ankle or other things? So yes, in fact, I think I remember your daughter. I've watched her on the court a number of times and even met her a couple of times as she did very, very well and beat my team there at Palmer.
And Madam Chair, I just want to thank you for sharing because I didn't realize that about all the pro bono and all that the team physicians around the state do, so that's thankful. And it sounds like relatives of yours also were with the Colony High School in the prior decade, which would have been my son as well. So
yes.
good luck to you on this appointment, and thank you for stepping up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Larson. Is there anyone here in Juneau who wishes to testify related to Dr. Larson's appointment? Is there anyone online? Okay, seeing none, thank you again, Dr. Larson, for making yourself available to serve and for the other areas in Alaska where you've served.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Next, we have Dr. Jonathan Vito. This is an appointment, the chiropractor seat on the same board. Dr. Vito, are you able to hear me?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much, and please feel free to introduce yourself and provide your reasons for wanting to serve on the board.
My name is Jonathan Vito. I originally grew up in Buffalo, New York, a little on the outskirts, small town. I did my schooling down in Atlanta, Georgia, and then I moved up here in 2011 and I practice in Anchorage, down on the south side of town. Love everything about Alaska. The one main thing I tried to get on the board, the reason was to kind of help streamline getting a license up here. They only offer the exam four times a year. In a lot of the other states in the lower 48, there's an online examination that you can take. I know our state is one of the only ones that make you physically come in to take a paper test and then meet with the board. I was looking to kind of help streamline that and then also introduce some newer concepts to the state, such as advanced chiropractic, especially for some of the smaller towns where the chiropractors can prescribe low-level medications with another certification that they would have to take.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Vito. And I was just looking over your information that's provided to us, and one of the things it mentions is that you're from Elma, New York. Do you live in Alaska now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. Thank you. I thought it might just be where you were from. So Senator Stevens
yeah,
has a question.
A little small town.
Senator Stevens has a question for you.
We have a brief at ease.
At ease. Thank you, everyone. We're back online. This is Senator Mia Costello, and this is the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, the Committee on the Economy. We were just in the middle of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, and we've heard from Dr. Larson, and now we're hearing from Dr. Vito. And we have a question from Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Vito, thank you very much for calling in today and for your service. Some of this may not make sense to me because I'm not from New York, but I noticed your doctorate of chiropractic is from Life University. Is that a university in New York?
No, it's down in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
Senator Meyer?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just never heard about that. Then also looking at your resume here, too, I noticed in New York that you were convicted of a misdemeanor. And I was wondering if maybe you could share with us what that was about and if it has anything to do with this position.
No, it has nothing to do with the position. When I was working during my undergrad, I was working bartending at night, and I had an extra drink during my shift and got pulled over on my way home.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions from committee members? Senator Stevens?
Thank you. I thought maybe just a little further on Life University. Is that an accredited institution?
It is. It actually has the number one Part 4 board scores for the all chiropractic schools in the nation right now.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. And you have now a question from Senator Gardner.
Thank you. Can you talk a little bit more, maybe expand on your suggestion that chiropractors should be able to have some prescription privileges?
Yes, as we're viewed through the health network as primary care physicians, so if, as a portal of entry, patients can come see us, like if they have a minor infection, we would be able to give low-dose antibiotics or a low-dose painkiller, such as, like, you know, codeine, something to that nature, because we see a lot of injury people. That way it would help them so they don't have to go see their primary doctor just to get the medication. Come see us for the chiropractic portion to help realign the spine and improve function, and then go see their physical therapist and whatnot. Especially out in some of the smaller communities where they don't have access to a wide variety of different physicians.
Thank you. And while you were at Life University, were there actual classes on pharmaceuticals and prescribing?
We got three different courses on toxicology, which is what they called it, but it was all on the different drugs and the interactions with the body. Very similar to the medication courses that MDs take.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Vito. And is there anyone here in Juneau who wishes to provide public testimony on this appointment? Is there anyone online who wishes to provide public testimony? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Dr. Vito. As with all the appointments, we will keep the public testimony open. And thank you very much for your interest in serving and for making yourself available today.
All right, thank you.
All right. Members, on our schedule, we did have the Board of Dental Examiners next. It's a 9-member board, and there are 3 nominees to this board, Michael Moriarty, Stephen Scheller, and Gail Walden, who are all unavailable today to call in. And so since that's an important part of what we do here is to hear from the nominees, we will be rescheduling that appointment. And so we will move now on to the Board of Marital and Family Therapy. This is a 5-member board. We have 2 individuals that we will be hearing from today. They've both been appointed on March 1st of this year. First is Karen Cunningham of Anchorage. Welcome, Karen. Can you hear me?
Hi, yes. This is Karen on the line.
Great. Thank you so much for making yourself available. And please share with the board member, or excuse me, the committee members, your interest in serving on the Board of Marital and Family Therapy and anything that you find relevant for us to know about you.
Well, I am a licensed marital and family therapist. The process to become a licensed MST is to get a bachelor's degree and then a master's degree. And then there's a minimum 2-year program in which clinicians can apply to be what's called a marriage and family therapy associate. During the associate period, the clinicians are supervised by an approved supervisor and have to get a minimum of 1,500 face-to-face client hours. After that, there is a grueling national exam, which has a 33% fail rate. And once that's been passed and all the paperwork has been through, finally, after all that, I became a licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm interested in serving in the board mostly because what really caught my attention is the current work that the board is doing with developing laws and statutes and regulations for teletherapy. And I think particularly for Alaska, for therapy, marriage, family, marriage therapy and family therapy, there's a lot of underserved populations that we'll be able to reach once we can do the teletherapy.
Well, thank you very much for that. Are there questions of the committee members? Senator Gardner?
Thank you, and thank you very much for your interest in serving. Can you tell me if you think there's any disadvantages to teletherapy? Do you think you can do the same quality of work when you're not in person with somebody?
You know, if I had it my way, I'd probably make it mandatory to at least have the first session face-to-face, and then after that to make it okay to do Skype sessions or FaceTime sessions or whatever the template is that you work through. But no, it's not ideal. I mean, there's so much that you can, the posture and the leaning forward and the leaning back and all that stuff it can be missed, but I still think it's worth doing.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Senator Stevens?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to express my appreciation to Karen for her sense of humor. I would think that if you're in a marital and family therapy, you've got to have a sense of humor. And we don't look at your driver's license, so even if you may have rounded up an inch or so, that's okay with us. But thank you for applying.
Oh, thank you. It's really an honor to have gotten this far.
Karen, and just another question that shows that we do read every word of these appointments because it is important. My question, well, first of all, I just wanted to comment on the fact that you are working with the Special Olympics, and it looks like you created one of only two exercise facilities in the United States exclusively for Special Olympics athletes, and I wanted to just bring that to the public's attention. I mean, as we go through these nominees, we're finding a trend here where many of you have a real commitment to giving back to the community, and I wanted to thank you for that. And ask you a question, too. Do you see any challenges in your profession moving forward relative to the state of Alaska specifically?
Any challenges moving forward?
Perhaps with access in rural communities or perhaps, you know, in coverage for insurance. I mean, are there any challenges that you've seen in this profession yourself that you would like to maybe address as a board member?
I've been really pleased with the way that insurance companies have embraced mental health. There's a little bit of a fear coming up that may not continue to be the case, and that's, I think, frightening for everybody that works in mental health. Other than that, I think as people lose jobs within the state of Alaska, I think there can be huge impacts on families, wives, husbands, kids, across the board. It is going to affect everybody. And as the economy potentially might improve, it might not improve, but whichever way it goes, there's always going to be a need for people who can work with families to help transition to different kind of lifestyles.
Okay, thank you. And you have a question from Senator Hughes?
Yeah, thank you. Yes. Thank you very much for stepping up. Thanks, Madam Chair. Just while we've got you online and you mentioned the insurance issue, I'm wondering, are you able to bill insurance, and can you bill Medicaid, or do you have to be under a psychiatrist or something for Medicaid? I remember hearing about that issue a few years ago.
Yeah, well, in order to bill through Medicaid, there's a bunch of requirements. I have a private practice, and I also work for a nonprofit called the Couple Center of Alaska, and there's too many hoops to jump through, and one of which is that there needs to be a psychiatrist on staff pretty much 40 hours a week, and we're not able to make that happen. So.
Thank you.
Thank you,
welcome.
Senator Hughes. And thank you, Karen, for making yourself available. Is there anyone here in Juneau that wishes to testify on this nominee? Is there anyone online who wishes to testify? Okay, seeing none, we will keep the public testimony open, as with all of the nominees. And thanks again, Karen, for your service to the state and for your willingness to serve on this board.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Next, we have Nicole Jenkins, who is also an appointee to the Marital and Family Therapy Board. Nicole, if you could introduce yourself to the committee and share with us your interest in serving in the therapist counselor seat on this board.
Sure. So, hi, my name is Nicole Jenkins. I moved to Alaska in 2014 from a little small town called Grass Valley in California, and I got my master's in marriage, family, child therapy in 2009, and I'm pursuing my doctorate in clinical psychology at this point. And, you know, when we considered where we wanted to move, one of the things that I looked at was MFT and knowledge of marital and family therapists and availability and just kind of what the profession looked like. And one thing that really drew me to Alaska was that the marital and family therapist as a whole, as a profession, really kind of felt like it was in its infancy. Coming from California, where MFTs were commonplace, and coming to Alaska, where really it's LPCs and LCSWs, part of what I was really drawn to and passionate about is trying to see if we can get MFTs kind of up to that same level of knowledge. You know, as was referenced earlier, Medicaid billing, getting us to be able to be providers in the VA, addressing the telehealth issues and how we meet the needs of our rural areas and our rural villages, but also then taking into account the risks and the benefits and making sure that we're weighing those pros and cons and, you know, really just looking at trainings and how we sustain the MFT profession for the future, because we don't have a dedicated MFT education program or training program up here, and there are by and large less MFTs than there are LCSWs and LPCs. And so really part of my interest in sitting on this board is to just see if we can explore how do we, you know, ensure the viability of the MFT profession moving forward, and how do we make sure that we can get trained people in and really meet that systemic and relational need in Alaska.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a question from Senator Hughes?
Yes, thank you, Nicole, for stepping up and making yourself available for this position. And I want to comment, because you just came to the state in 2014, but I can see you jumped in with 2 feet. I want to thank you for being involved with the MATSU Crisis Intervention Coalition, and also for your work there in Palmer, where I'm from. So I just want to thank you for that. I appreciate some of the issues just mentioned, because in my prior work before I came into the legislature, I was doing healthcare policy work, and I was aware of some of the things that you mentioned, and you're right, they do need work. So thank you for that, and I just have to ask you, how does Palmer compare to your life in California?
You know, actually, Palmer is amazing. When we came up and we kind of had settled on Alaska, but we weren't sure where, we looked all over. We went down to Soldotna and Homer and Anchorage and Palmer, and the minute we drove into Palmer, we knew it was home. It was Grass Valley, but in Alaska. It's the old historic feeling buildings and brick, and it's the old mining town feel, because Grass Valley is an old gold mining town. We love it. We can't imagine moving anywhere else. It was instantly home, but in a different state. So we're really, really pleased.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hughes.
I just love to get that on the record, and glad you see it in that way, because I know the cold Palmer wind this winter has been quite fierce, and so glad you're happy there.
Yes, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gardner.
Thank you, and I'm very impressed with your testimony, actually, and I'm particularly interested in knowing what, if any, role the board might have in addressing the issue of medical billing for their MFT services.
I think part of what our role potentially could be, and of course I'd know more once I've sat in on the board, but I would see my role as being having a voice with our National American Association of Marriage and Family Therapists, who are pushing very hard for equal footing at Medicare, Medicaid, at the VA, and I think we could give our voice to that and could bring our needs in Alaska to that, to add more power behind what is needed. You know, other states don't have as small of a population as we do, so in other states there might be enough licensed providers to go around, but there aren't here. We have a huge need, and there aren't always enough licensed providers of any of the mental health licensures to really meet that need. And so I think part of what our board could do is really track that data and those numbers and just be there and be present in saying there is a need and MFTs are trained to meet it, and here's how we're trained to meet it, and to really take the time to listen to what that opposition is and why it's believed that we shouldn't or aren't qualified to be a billable and reimbursable service, and maybe clarify around, you know, we don't only see couples. We don't only deal with families. Really just making it clear what it is that we do and what our role is and what our training and experience is.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
And thank you, Nicole. This is Senator Hughes. Our chair has stepped out for a moment. And seeing no questions, I'll open up public testimony for Ms. Jenkins. Are there any members online? Seeing none, are there anyone in the room who'd like to testify for Ms. Jenkins? Seeing none, we will continue on, and we're going to move on to the Board of Massage Therapists, and that is a 5-member board, and Tracy Gilmore of Juno is here in the room, so come on up, Tracy, and thank you for joining us, and state your name and affiliation for the record, and tell the committee about your interest serving on the board.
Thank you. Chairwoman Costello and committee members, for the record, my name is Tracy Gilmore. I have been practicing massage in the state of Alaska. This is my 23rd year. I was originally licensed in the state of Washington and worked really hard. Our license is new, and so I worked pretty hard with the Alaska Coalition to get the license passed in 2014, and we successfully did that. I applied to the board, and I have reapplied because we've done some really good work that I want to continue. We've done our regulations. We're in the process of regulations. We're a new board, and it's been an interesting couple of years.
Great. Thank you very much, Tracy, and thank you, Senator Hughes, for taking over while I stepped out for a moment. Senator Hughes.
Well, I just have to ask it. When you're coming up for this, I'm just wondering if a demonstration might be part of our review, and I'd be happy to be a guinea pig.
Okay. Well.
No, I'm kidding. thank you for stepping up.
Thank you.
Are there any questions of committee members? Senator Gardner.
Thank you, and thank you for your willingness to serve. And I remember when there was the effort to have a professional licensing board for massage therapists, and I understand the effort to make sure that it is seen as a really professional business. But I have a question from a constituent, and if I might read just a part of it. He has a whole page.
Senator Gardner.
Here is, I think, in the heart of his concerns. He has other ones, too. But he said, the new board has increased our license fees from $100 to $610, plus new tests, new legal hurdles when most of us are making much, much less profit due to the recession. They also force us to pay for fingerprints. Next year, they've announced we'll have to pay for an additional 16 hours of private continuing education courses and take a national exam, which will cost hundreds of dollars, and is a hardship, especially for those massage therapists who don't speak fluent English. And he just feels like he can't any longer stay in the profession with all these additional costs. Do you have a comment or response, or what should I say to him?
Absolutely. A couple of clarifications. There is a House bill introduced House Bill 145 being introduced that is asking to repeal the fingerprinting requirements. The board has taken a position asking Representative Westlake and Ledoux to require fingerprinting for initial application and state background checks for the first two application periods, and then national fingerprinting for the third. So we are reducing that burden. 16 hours of education over a two-year period is currently in statute. Prior to licensing 3 years ago, there were no education requirements for anybody. Any one of you could have walked across the street and got a business license and been a massage therapist. So in the interest of public safety and for the therapists as well as recipients of massage, we think it's really critical to be educated. In the board meeting last, according to public meeting minutes, we have asked the state sets the fees, we have asked them to reduce to $295 is what we were requesting for the next application period. The part of the $610 that was required by the state for the initial licensing was a $200 application fee. That will not be required. So we have heard the therapist, and we are working to reduce our fees. We did have 1,034 massage therapists licensed as of last week. So that has given a good buffer. We are also in support. I believe the board chair will be writing a letter of support for House Bill 90, which can also reduce the fees as well. All 16 hours of continuing education can be done online. You do not have to travel to get, you don't have to do those in person. Did I answer all of them? I think there was one more.
Excellent. I was writing as fast as I could. I'll take that. Thank
and
you.
And I brought a copy of last week's meeting minutes that can help you answer those. Would
That'd
you like
great.
A copy of that?
Thank you, yes.
Okay.
Thank you. And Tracy, I do have a question. So I have heard that insurance coverage for massage therapists is sometimes difficult, like say through Aetna. And I'm wondering are you seeing more of that where individuals are asking that their insurance cover massage therapy for other related, codes that exist in the medical profession?
So one of the biggest benefits from licensing has been our ability to bill directly to insurance companies. The only ones that really argue with us would probably be Medicaid, Medicare, and Alaska Care Retiree. And the Alaska Care Retiree, it's in statute, and I would love to work to the end to get that statute changed, but we are billing successfully to insurance companies at this time. There are some glitches, but there are with all any injuries and any people that. But there's lots of software that helps us, and I think we're doing really well with
okay.
that.
Any further questions from committee members? Okay, thank you so much for your patience.
Thank you so much for seeing me.
Yes, is there anybody in Juneau that wishes to testify on this appointment of Tracy Gilmore? Is there anybody online? Thank you, Tracy. Appreciate you being willing to serve. Next, we'll be hearing from Jill Motz of Wasilla. This is the licensed massage therapist seat. Welcome, Jill. I can see you've been listening in since 1:42 to the committee. Thank you for your patience. And please feel free to introduce yourself to the committee and share with us your interest in serving on this board.
Thank you. My name is Jill Moss. I've been a licensed massage therapist for 14 years, most of them in the Chugiak, Eagle River Valley areas. I was in private practice for 5 years in Eagle River. I worked for a physical therapy company for 8 years out here in Wasilla. And 2 years ago, when licensing came to Alaska, moved back into private practice. So, I will apologize for my application. I was requested to fill one out by the outgoing chairperson when she stepped down. And at the time, I was in Solbotna visiting my sister who had just had a baby. So I did that application on my phone. It's not terribly impressive. I apologize for that. But I have been involved in professional associations, the American Massage Therapy Association as a board member, or in various volunteer roles, trying to move towards licensure for over 7 years now. So it's something that I'm familiar with, it's something that I'm passionate about, and moving to the state board is the next logical step to be of service in the best possible place that I can be.
Thank you very much. Are there questions for Jill? Okay, seeing none. Jill, thank you very much for your interest in serving and for making yourself available. Are there any people in Juneau here who wish to testify on Jill's appointment? Is there anyone online? Jill, I want to thank you for providing a photo of you. It's just wonderful to be able to see what you look like.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. So next, we will be looking at the Occupational Safety and Health Review Board. We have one appointee who we will be visiting with today. This is a three-member board, and Thomas Trosbig of Kodiak has been appointed to the public seat. Welcome, Thomas.
Hello. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can, and please feel free to introduce yourself to the committee and share with us your interest in serving on the board, and if you have any other comments that you find are relevant, please feel free to share those too.
Okay, yeah, I'm Tom Trosbig, and I'm the public member on the Occupational Safety and Health Review Board. And as you said, we're a three-person board that hears Alaska OSHA appeal cases. I've been the safety and security officer at the Matson Navigation Container Terminal in Kodiak for the last 12 years, and I've been a resident of Kodiak since 1977. I retired after 30 years from the U.S. Coast Guard as a captain, and that included being commanding officer for two major Coast Guard commands. I was commanding officer of the Bering Sea Patrol Vessel Coast Guard Cutter Yacona and commanding officer of Coast Guard Sector Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. At Sault Ste. Marie, I commanded an industrial base, an operational group consisting of 15 life-saving stations and vessels, a marine safety office, a vessel traffic system, and ran all icebreaking operations in the northern Great Lakes. I served 5 tours of duty in Kodiak, including 10 years sea service, most of which were in the North Pacific and Bering Sea. My shore-based specialty in the Coast Guard was marine safety and marine investigations. In that position, I was involved with marine safety on a daily basis and investigated many major marine casualties. Many of these casualty investigations involve loss of fishing vessels in Alaskan waters. I've been on the Occupational Safety and Health Review Board for over 10 years now, and I have found the cases to be very similar to those I handled in the Coast Guard. I believe I have broad expertise in general safety matters, and I have enjoyed using my expertise to enhance the safety for the citizens of Alaska. Any questions?
I'm going to hand it over to Senator Stevens. Senator Stevens.
Thank you. Hi, Tom. Thanks so much for applying for this. Yeah, I just want to say that we have a long tradition of many Coast Guardsmen and women coming to Kodiak and staying for various terms of service, but it's always really rewarding when we see someone of your caliber who decides to stay and make a life in Kodiak and be such an important part of our community. And I appreciate your service to our country as a captain of the Coast Guard and your living in Kodiak, too. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Senator Stevens. And despite the weather this winter, I love it here.
Senator Gardner.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your willingness to serve. You described yourself as having broad expertise. And, you know, our job here is to sort of evaluate whether people are qualified for the boards they're being appointed to. And I can't imagine how anyone could be more qualified than you are for this particular board. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
And my question is, once a captain, always a captain?
I guess so.
All right. Well, Captain Trosbig, thank you for your willingness to serve. We certainly appreciate that. And thank you for making yourself available today for us to visit with you online.
Yeah, thank you for all you do.
Is there anyone here in Juneau who wishes to testify on this appointment? Is there anyone online who wishes to testify? Okay, seeing none, we will move on. I did want to mention to committee members that we had planned for the State Board of Physical Therapy and Occupational Therapy to be next. However, there is no one online for us to visit with. We also have the Board of Professional Counselors, and again, there is no one online for us to
work with. So we will move next to the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. We have two individuals who we will be visiting with related to this board. And I wanted to first invite Stephen Hagedorn from Anchorage to introduce yourself and your constituent, Stephen.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So feel
free. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, feel free to introduce yourself to the committee and express your interest in serving on this board.
Please get this. Yes, hi. My name is Steve Hagedorn. I've been a resident of Alaska since 1971. I worked for the Alaska Railroad for 34 years, and during that time I was the risk manager for the final 25 years of my career. And in 1991, Governor Hickel appointed me to the Workers' Compensation Board, which I served on for a period of over 15 years. Before I was appointed to the Appeals Commission in 2008 by then Governor Kalin, and I've served under six different governors with this final time with Governor Walker. I have had a great deal of experience in workers' compensation matters. I am not an attorney, but have worked with attorneys all my life and have literally been a part of decisions and orders numbering well over 1,000.
Steve, thank you very much. And I have to mention that my first job after college was to work for Governor Hickel that same year that you were appointed. So I certainly appreciate your knowledge in this issue. Are there any questions for Steve? Okay, seeing none, thank you for your patience. I know you've been online since 1:30, and thank you for your willingness to serve.
No problem. I feel it's an honor, and I have loved being in Alaska, and this is an opportunity and has been an opportunity for me to give something back to the state, which has been so much a big part of my life.
Well, thank you so much. Next, we have Deirdre Ford. Welcome, Deirdre. You've been appointed to the commission chair seat. Please introduce yourself for the committee and let us know your interest in serving. And again, thank you for your patience. I see you've been listening online since 1:40.
Good afternoon, and thank you for this opportunity to talk with you all. My name is Deirdre Ford. I was appointed by Governor Walker to be chair of the Alaska Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. By way of background, my late husband and I came to Alaska in 1978 for 2 years for an adventure, and Alaska became part of my soul and my being, and I'm here and I love it, and I tout its wonders to everybody far and wide. I was asked to come out of retirement to apply for this job. Prior to that, starting in 1985, I worked for a law firm in Anchorage as an insurance defense counsel, primarily in the area of workers' compensation. In 2009, I became a hearing officer at the Alaska Workers' Compensation Board. My late husband passed away in 2007. He's a permanent resident in downtown Anchorage at the beautiful little cemetery across from the Sheraton. In 2011, I married a man who lives in Los Angeles. He's now living in an assisted living facility in L.A. And I started spending a lot of time in L.A., but I never left Alaska. I own my home here, and as I said before, it's part of my soul. It's who I am. So I was pleased to be able to give something back to this wonderful state that enabled me to go to law school in my midlife and to become both a practicing attorney and then a hearing officer, both jobs which I enjoyed thoroughly, and I'm really enjoying being on the Appeals Commission. It's a different way of looking at the law, and I love it.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Deirdre. Are there any questions from committee members? Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you for stepping up, and I'm just looking, I see something, I'm just curious. You were a co-chair of something called Alaska Sisters in Crime. What was that? We just want to make sure.
Okay. Yes, there's a national organization called Sisters in Crime. It was developed in, I believe, the 80s to bring readers and writers of murder mysteries together, primarily women. There was an effort to make sure that women were getting an equal opportunity in the publishing field, to have their novels published and to bring them to the readers. And so in the 80s, Alaska formed a chapter with Dana Stabenow, Sue Henry, Suzanne Nightingale, and a variety of other people. I'm a reader, not a writer. I write in my job, but I don't write novels. And so we sponsored two big conferences here in Alaska. In 2001, we sponsored something in February, mind you, for something called Left Coast Crime, which is for readers and writers of mysteries on the Left Coast or the West Coast. And we brought 50 authors and I forget how many people, over 200 people, to Anchorage in February to have a wonderful time. And then in 2007, we sponsored the national conference to come to Anchorage in September, called VoucherCon. And it brings together national and international readers and writers of mysteries.
Madam Chair? Senator Hughes.
Thank you for clearing that up. And just another short, quick question, because I know the chair has others to get through. But can you tell us what AIRRES, the acronym? You said you're on the board of directors, and I don't know what that organization is.
Oh, it's an organization. I resigned from that board in 2012, so I'm not sure the status of it. But it reads over the radio to blind and other visually impaired people, like newspapers and books and things like that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone here in Juneau that wishes to testify on Deirdre's appointment? Is there anyone online? Okay, seeing none, thank you so much for making yourself available. And I do want to apologize to Eleanor Vinson of Juneau, if you'd like to come forward. Committee members, I had mentioned that we didn't have anybody from the Board of Professional Counselors, but we do have Eleanor here. She's been waiting patiently since the beginning of the hearing and just didn't sign in, so that's why I missed you. Welcome, Eleanor. So while members flip back to find the Board of Professional Counselors in your packets, I did want to mention for those who are following us at home that the governor's opioid bill, Senate Bill 74, and Senate Bill 75, my bill related to immersion certification for teachers of non-English languages, will not be heard today. We also were hoping to move out Senator Machicki's bill, Senate Bill 64, so I just wanted to bring that to the members' attention, but we also want to thoroughly vet the applicants, so want to just so that you're aware. And I know, Senator Stevens, we also were planning to hear the first hearing of your bill, Senate Bill 71, which we will get to if there's time. And the committee does end in half an hour. So with that, welcome, Eleanor. Thank you for being here in person. And as you've seen, we're just interested in knowing a little bit about you and why you are interested in serving on the Board of Professional Counselors.
Well, first, apologies for the application process. I was traveling. They said, you have to have it in one day. And I said, and nobody will see it. They go,
no. Well, this is a pretty thorough committee, I'd say.
But I was appointed to the public seat on the Board of Professional Counselors. My degree has nothing to do with counseling. It's sociology. So, but I have lived in Alaska since 1977 and lived in Valdez, Barrow, and Juneau, and I think that will help because I am supposed to be the public person, and I will then, I think it brings an understanding of the unique areas of our state, and I think that will help. And I worked as staff for some time for different boards, for several different boards. And I saw many good board members, many poor board members. So at least I will bring in the knowledge of how to not be a bad board member. So I think that will help.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Eleanor? All right, no questions. Thank you so much for your willingness to serve. And, you know, as we go through so many of these names here today, I do think that we have so many talented Alaskans who stepped up to serve, and I want to thank you for your willingness to serve.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone here in Juneau that wishes to testify from the public on this appointment? Is there anybody online? Okay, seeing none, thank you so much. And we'll keep the public testimony open as we are with all the boards. Thank you very much. Next, we have several appointees to the 18-member Workers' Compensation Board. And first, calling in from Fairbanks is Togi Latula-Gastanoa. This is the second judicial district and the fourth industry seat on the board. Togi, can you hear me?
I can. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much. And please feel free to introduce yourself to the committee and share with us why you're interested in serving on this board.
Sure. My name is Kona Latula-Gastanoa. I was born and raised in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm currently the director of operations for the Bryce Companies. We're a heavy civil construction company which focuses on rural construction in the state. We also have an equipment rental division which provides oil field service and support in Prudhoe Bay as well as in Kenai. We also own a rock quarry in North Pole, Alaska, and we have a marine department which operates primarily in the state of Alaska as well as in Washington. My interest in serving on this board is to bring some of the knowledge working in these multiple fields of the industry to the committee and to the hearings as well, and also to give back to the state, which I feel is very important. So.
Okay. Thank you very much for serving, and you were appointed in January, so you would be a new appointment to the board, and I appreciate your experience on what you would bring to the board. Are there any questions of committee members? Okay, seeing none. Togi, thank you very much for your patience. You've been listening since 1:30.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone here in Juneau or online that wishes to testify on the appointment of Togi to the Workers' Compensation Board? Okay, seeing none. Next, we'll move on to Linda Murphy. This is the third judicial district seat on the board and the industry seat. So welcome, Linda. Thank you for your patience, and feel free to share with the committee your interest in serving on this board.
Thank you, Senator Costello. My name is Linda Murphy. I've lived in Alaska since 1972. I have both public and private sector experience. I was the city clerk in Seward for about 16 years, moved from there to Soldotna, where I took the borough clerk's job and served there to my retirement in 2005. While I was the city clerk in Seward for most of that time, the city clerk also served as personnel director, and so I worked directly with both union and non-union employees in that capacity. Since my retirement from the borough, I've served on the borough planning commission, I've served on the borough assembly, served 1 year as president of the assembly. Currently, I'm on the Soldotna City Council and serve as vice mayor. In addition, my husband and I have owned a small construction business specializing in custom home construction on the Kenai Peninsula for over 30 years now. And since my retirement in 2005, I have run the business end of that business. And so I think it makes me uniquely qualified in that I have experience in both public and private sector employment.
Great. Thank you so much for that introduction. Are there any questions for Linda? Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to mention I have known and worked with Linda over the years. She's been a great asset to the to our communities, and appreciate her, particularly her work on the Alaska Municipal League Board of Directors. Thank you. Thank you, Linda, for applying.
Thank you so much, Senator.
Thank you. Are there any members here or members of the public here in Juneau that wish to testify on Linda's appointment? Is there anyone online? Okay, seeing none. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thank you.
Next, we have Donna Phillips calling in from Anchorage. This is the third judicial district and the labor seat on the Workers' Compensation Board. Welcome, Donna, and please feel free to introduce yourself to the committee and share with us your interest in serving.
Thank you, Senator Costello. My name is Donna Phillips, and I'm a registered nurse of 38 years. Spent 37 years working in intensive care units across the country. I moved up to Alaska in 1993 and came back in 1994 and stayed. I came up originally as a travel nurse, but loved it here and ended up staying. I currently work in one of the ICUs in Anchorage, and I'm also the labor chair of the Alaska Nurses Association, and we represent over 1,400 nurses in the state of Alaska. I've also served in my hospital on the Safe Patient Handling Committee, as well as our Health and Safety Officer. I did serve one term on the Workers' Compensation Board and really enjoy being able to use my nursing knowledge and expertise in hearing cases of injured workers when they come through, and just making sure that their rights are met and that they get what's due to them under the Act.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Donna, for your service. Are there any questions of committee members? Okay, Senator Gardner has a question for you.
Thank you, and I just want to say hello and thank you, Donna.
Oh, thank you, Senator Gardner.
Yes. Thank you for your patience, too. I see you've been listening to the whole committee hearing.
Well, I didn't know what time I'd be on, so I already had a grievance hearing while I was on mute, so it all worked out fine.
Well, thank you. I don't think we have any grievances related to you. So is there anybody here in Juneau that wishes to testify on this appointment? Is there anybody online? Once again, thank you so much, Donna. Appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Senator Costello.
Next, we have Aaron Plickett of Anchorage. This is the 3rd Judicial District and also a labor seat. Aaron, if you could introduce yourself to the committee members and share your interest in serving on the Workers' Compensation Board?
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Senator. My name is Aaron Plickett. I'm a plumber and pipe fitter by trade. I've been a member of the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Local in Anchorage since 1997. Last 10 years, I've been a business agent for the local. I'm also currently the president of the Building Construction Trades Council for South Central Alaska, where I work with all 16 separate union crafts. And serve on several labor management boards and commissions here, and currently chairman of our Joint Apprenticeship Training Trust. And look forward to serving on this board and seeing what I can help to bring. I think my background of working on the tools, coming up through that, and then also working here as a business agent to work to bring issues and people together and disputes and seek resolution, I think that will be favorable look forward to my opportunity to serve.
Great. Thank you so much, Aaron. Are there any questions of committee members? Okay, seeing none, and just for the public listening in and those here, the committee members do have a very comprehensive packet on all of the appointees, and so as we are listening, we're also looking through their experience, and it's very impressive what many of the appointees, most of them, bring to their service. So thank you very much, Aaron. Is there anyone here in Juneau that wishes to testify on this appointment? Is there anybody online? All right. Thank you so much. Next, we have Brett Stubbs of Anchorage. This is the 3rd Judicial District appointment on the board and also, or seat on the board, and also a labor seat. And Brett, thank you for calling in and making yourself available. If you'd like to introduce yourself to the committee and let us know why you're interested in serving.
Yeah, my name is Brett Stubbs, and I'm actually industry seat on the board.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. I've been in the construction industry for about 20 years now. The last 7, I've been an estimator for KC Corporation. I started out working in residential construction and then moved into commercial construction, and in 2003, I joined the Painters Union, where I worked with a lot of different contractors, and as I was working, a lot of the members wanted me to represent them, where I became the president of the union there, and I still continued working in the field and eventually became management and became an estimator, like I said earlier. And, sorry, just a second. And then as I became an estimator, I had to step down from being the president of the union because I was on the management side of the industry. And being on the management side, the contractors wanted me to start representing them. And so that's when I became the chairman of the Apprenticeship and Training Trust Fund. And then I also became a board member of the Painters, Local 1959 Retirement Trust Fund. And I've been a project manager on many jobs, and I've seen lots of guys get injured in the field and just have to keep calm and try and keep them calm and get them help. And I just think that'd be a good asset to the board.
Well, thank you very much, Brett. It just certainly sounds that way. Are there any questions from committee members? Okay, seeing none, thank you so much for bringing your experience to the benefit of the state of Alaska and serving your willingness to serve on this board.
All right, thank you.
Is there anyone here in Juneau or online that wishes to testify on the appointment of Brett to the Workers' Compensation Board? Okay, seeing none. Next, it's my pleasure to welcome Rick Traney, calling in from Anchorage. This is the labor seat on the board, and Rick, please feel free to share your interest in serving on the board with the committee members.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Rick Traney. In my career, I've worked at UPS for 16 years, held a variety of positions. Currently, I work for the Teamsters Local 959 as the negotiations coordinator. I held positions of executive director and a trustee for the union itself. I've been appointed, I think this is the third or fourth time, to the Workers' Compensation Board, the first time being in 2011, and I was part of the group that toured 2 years in a row to the communities in Alaska, taking input from the shareholders, employers, injured workers, adjusters, as it related to changes that they desired to make the workers' compensation process more efficient. In addition, you know, I participate in the semi-annual meetings where we develop and help implement regulations and the new medical fee schedule, and sit in on hearings as well, adjudicating disputes from uninsured employers to injured workers to rehabilitation.
Thank you very much, Rick. Are there questions of committee members? Okay, seeing none, Rick, thank you for the service that you have provided and your willingness to continue to serve. I think, and oftentimes with these larger boards, it's really important to have institutional knowledge, and I want to thank you personally for serving.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you very much, and thank you to your committee and the governor for the reappointment.
Okay. Is there anyone here in Juneau or online that wishes to testify in the appointment of Rick Traney to the Workers' Compensation Board? Okay, seeing none. Next, we will move on to our final individual that we will hear from this afternoon, Lake Williams of Fairbanks. This is also for the Workers' Compensation Board. Lake has been appointed to the labor seat that represents the 4th Judicial District. And welcome, Lake. Thank you for your patience. I see you two have been listening in, and feel free to introduce yourself to the committee and mention anything relevant to your experience and your interest in serving on the board.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Lake Williams. I'm born and raised in Fairbanks, except for a couple of years that I went to college and got my degree at the University of Iowa in Business Administration. While I was going to college, I also led in the Operating Engineers Apprenticeship Program, and I completed that. I worked about 10 years in the field, and then I've been in the office for about 11 years. My current position's the Fairbanks District Rep. I also am president of the Fairbanks Building Trades, a former board member on the Chamber of Commerce. I'm currently on the Chamber of Commerce Transportation Committee. I'm also a Bigfoot, Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I was originally appointed on the board in 2014 by Governor Parnell, and I've enjoyed serving on the board. I believe it takes a while to get your feet wet, and it's good to retain some of that knowledge and continually trying to improve the system for both the workers and the employers. And it's one of those boards that's a lot of work, you're dealing with real people's lives, and it can be rewarding and frustrating at times, but I'm committed, and I appreciate both the labor board members and the industry board members, and I've enjoyed my experience.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lake. Are there questions from committee members? All right, seeing none, thank you. Is there anyone here in Juneau or anyone online who wishes to provide public testimony on the appointment of Lake Williams to the Workers' Compensation Board? Okay, seeing none, thank you again, Lake. And that brings us to our next items on the agenda. While we're wrapping this up, I want to invite Rachel Hanke, staff to Senator Machicki forward related to Senate Bill 64. And as members are looking in your packets for the Senate Bill 64, I just wanted to say that I want to thank all of the individuals who called in from across the state of Alaska on your appointments to various boards in Alaska. We'll be setting the nominations aside for committee action at a later date, but I want to again stress just how important it is to have the commitment and involvement of Alaskans who do this uncompensated to further their professions and to make our state work more smoothly. So thank you very much. And with that, I want to welcome Rachel before us. This is Senate Bill 64. The intent is to move the bill out and answer any final questions of committee members. This is the Uniform Environmental Covenants Act. It's the second hearing of the bill. The intent is, as I mentioned, to take members' questions. And I wanted to mention that Kristen Ryan was going to be available to answer any questions. And I'm not sure, Weston, is she online? She is. Okay, so Kristen's online. Thank you, Kristen. And with that, are there any questions of committee members on the Uniform Environmental Covenants Act? Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering, you mentioned that some of the organizations have looked at it and you're not hearing of any concerns at this point. Do you expect to get letters of saying whether they're supporting or neutral on it, like the realtors and the different folks that deal with titles and covenants and such?
Is that for me? Rachel?
Oh. For the record, my name is Rachel Hanke, staff to Senator Machicki. We, through the chair, Senator Hughes, we are definitely trying to gather some more. And at this point, we don't have any other opposition other than the letter from the Department of Defense.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Are there any other questions? We also have Jennifer Curry from the Department of Law who's called in. Okay, seeing no further questions, Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 64 from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there any opposition to moving the bill? Okay, seeing none, Senate Bill 64 moves from committee with individual committee recommendations and accompanying fiscal note. And while we're passing that around, I'd like to invite staff to Senator Stevens forward to review Senate Bill 71. This is the first hearing for Senate Bill 71. And due to the lack of available time, I'd like to reserve the time solely for the sponsor of the legislation and your staff to go over the bill so that the committee members become familiar with it. And if we have any questions related to the bill, please feel free to, you know, let me know, and we will make sure that at our next hearing for the bill that we get those answered. I want to take a brief at ease.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Senate Labor and Commerce Committee is back to order, and want to welcome those who've been waiting patiently for the bills that we didn't review today. We'll be hearing those at another date. And with that, welcome, Tim. You know the drill. Please feel free to introduce yourself and walk us through the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Stevens. Behalf of Senator Stevens, I'd like to thank the committee chair for hearing this bill. What you should have before you, Senate Bill 71, Version A. This bill, and it's been a long-standing policy of the state to promote the rehabilitation of the state's fisheries, the development of a predominantly resident fishery, and the continued maintenance of Alaska's commercial fishing gear and vessels by means of long-term low-interest loans. And that's almost verbatim of the statute. That policy has been in existence since the early mid-70s, and this bill is an effort to modify that policy. Commercial fishing loans, this program was created in 72. It's indirectly linked to our Constitution from promoting long-term sustainable use of our natural resources, and fisheries in particular, for the maximum use of Alaskans. It helps residents who want to enter or remain in the fisheries, commercial fishing industry with these loans through the state's assistance. The state has established a few approaches to apply for these loans and qualify for them by buying, for example, entry permits, upgrading their vessel, upgrading their gear, improving the quality of the fish seafood product, and so forth. Regardless, though, and I'll try to keep this simple for you, because at face value, the bill itself, it's easy to misunderstand what's happening. You really need to refer to 310 to understand what's happening here. And I've kind of made an equation here to help a visual aid for you understand what's happening. The overall program has a current cap. In order for a young person or even an established commercial fisher person to begin commercial fishing, to go fish, that amount is $400,000, and this bill does not change that cap. The total amount is still that a person can borrow, their balance cannot exceed $400,000. What this bill does is change the components A, B, C, or F, those respective amounts, up to $4,000 or $2,000 respectively. And with that, I'll explain to you now what A, B, C, and F represent. Okay.
So now I'm confused. I'm looking at the amount here. So you're saying that there are different components that comprise a larger loan than $400,000. Currently, that's $300,000.
A may be $400,000. B, C, and F would be zero in this case.
I see.
Or A and B can be $200,000, and C and F would be zero, for example. The total of these figures cannot exceed $400,000. So the bill does not change that $400,000, that go fish amount. It only changes the amounts that can be played with, how to reach that $400,000 cap.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So then looking at the bill and explaining what those, the A, B, C, and F represent, A currently is capped at $300,000. And A is an instance typically targeted for more experienced commercial fishermen. That are established, that have more proven assets and collateral to offer, but it's in instances where they still need some help, and it allows them to purchase entry permits, to upgrade an existing vessel or existing gear, or improve the product of the seafood, or specifically to replace engines or generators for fuel efficiency. That's A, okay? So that amount is currently capped at $300,000. This bill would allow that cap to be $400,000. And I'd like to remind you, too, that, again, this was set up in the mid-70s. And so at that time, $300,000 was a lot more money than the purchase power of that $300,000 was a lot greater than it is now. So by raising it to $400,000, we're not even coming close to inflationary figures, applying inflation to that. So $400,000 is still a pretty modest increase, but it does allow more flexibility for fisher folk to, upgrade that kind of gear at a $400,000 cap. That's just A.
Senator Hughes?
Yeah, thank you, Tim. So this means, in the old days, if you had $1.2 million, four people could get $300,000 loans, and now at $1.2 million, three people will be able to get them because, if you have X amount in your fund, fewer will go out. So is that going to... Just curious, is that going to meet the need? Has there been any thought or consideration of?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I'm not quite sure I understand the question, but it's my understanding that because we're talking about permits here, and I think you're referring to groups or partnerships or companies, is that right?
I am.
People pool the resources, because the permit itself cannot be owned by a company. The permit is issued to an individual.
Follow-up, Madam Chair.
Senator Hughes.
I think I mean loans. So let's say you have $1.2 million available. Under the current statute, four loans could go out at $300,000. What you're proposing, if you had $1.2 million, only three loans would be available. So it's just going to change the number
people that will receive them or companies that will receive them.
Through the chair, if I understand the question correctly, so you're referring to if the lending institution, in this case the Department of Commerce, has a total fund balance of $1.2 million, and that limits the number of people they can, that would be correct, but their fund balance is in the neighborhood of $90 million, and I don't think there's any issues with the functionality of the program whatsoever. It's been quite successful.
Just follow
up. Senator Hughes?
That was just a mathematical. It means, fewer people will get a little bit more under this bill, and that is correct. And unless there's always more than enough every year, that may not be a concern, and that's why I was wondering, is it a concern?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, theoretically that is correct, but the function in practice, that there's plenty to go around. I'll put it that way.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that's A. B, then are loans designed for, shall I say, younger Alaskan residents that are not so well established, and B, loans would be to repair or restore or upgrade existing vessels, to purchase gear or permits, and to purchase vessels, and typically we're talking about used vessels. Now, number one here is a catch to this under the B loans is that they have to be denied financing from a private lending institution. That's the first and foremost thing that has to happen. So in order to qualify for the B section loans, they're denied financing by traditional means or by private lending means. The current cap of the B loans is broken. There's two caps. One is if they're buying a permit or gear, then that cap is $200,000. But if they want to buy or repair a vessel, that cap is $100,000. And that's where, I guess, the real meat and potatoes of this bill is that this is where we up both of these categories to $200,000. So whether they want to buy, a youngster wants to buy a permit or a vessel, in either case, it allows them to borrow up to $200,000 toward that purchase. And frankly, that's only going to get them part way. They're still going to have to, vessels these days are typically going to be more than $200,000, but so that's B. And again, if they borrow $200,000 under B and then $200,000 under A to total $400,000, then they're maxed out and they can't borrow any more until they pay back some of that money. I hope I'm not confusing you here. Okay. C, then are loans for existing established Fisher folks that have some experience, and that's to purchase IFQs, which means individual fishing quotas for halibut and sablefish, black cod, you may have heard of, which is personally my new favorite fish to eat these days. Side note. So currently the cap for the C section loans, or section C loans, is capped at $300,000, and this bill would also increase that cap level to $400,000. Because of market prices and market price fluctuations, so forth, that really allows them that much more purchasing power. IFQs are not cheap, and so they do fluctuate, of course, but they're certainly not cheap, and that just gives them a little more flexibility to borrow under that loan program. And then finally, under Section F, is also for Alaskan residents that want to upgrade their tender vessels. Tenders are, of course, the vessels that are out in the water, and they are big boats that receive the fish before it's brought to a cannery or a vessel.
Thank you very much, Tim. Senator Stevens.
Just a quick comment, Madam Chair. I think this is just a part of the solution long-term in the fishery to try to Alaskanize the fishery, to try to help young Alaskans get into the industry. Boats are much more expensive than they were 20 years ago, and this helps to some extent get Alaskans in the industry, where it's very difficult these days. And anything we do to help them is great. And Tim has made it very clear, this is not raising that cap at all. It's just spreading it around a little bit differently if you choose to.
And with that, I want to thank you, Tim, and Senator Stevens. I'm pleased we had a chance to hear the bill for the first time. Of course, we'll be setting it aside and bringing it up at a later date. And with that, we are adjourned.